The last thing I want to ask you about is clinical research that's going on at Memorial right now. Can you sort of summarize some of the key studies?
Well, we continue to be very excited about the growing understanding of the molecular biology of breast cancer and other cancers, and that's what we're trying to translate. So within our service, we've been looking at targeted therapeutics in a sequence of clinical trials that are really meant to shed some additional light. For example, we've looked at a series of EGFR inhibitors in collaboration with investigators around the United States, and we continue to explore those, looking for ways in which they might be effectively combined. As part of that, we have begun to look in collaboration with John Park and Hope Rugo at UCSF at the predictive value of both circulating tumor cells and circulating endothelial cells, and this is work that's ongoing. Maura Dickler's been championing that. And from that collaboration, in particular, we have the clinical trial that proved the safety of combining bevacizumab with letrozole, and that has now led to one of the randomized trials in the CLGB that we discussed earlier. We have clinical trials now focused on a SRC inhibitor. We have, of course, some conventional chemotherapy trials. We're very interested in nanoparticle abdomen-bound paclitaxel. Andy Seidman is chairing a trial looking at three ways of giving NAB paclitaxel to see whether conventional Q3 or, if you will, dose-dense Q2 or low-dose weekly might have a superiority in terms of safety. We're doing that in combination with bevacizumab for first-line patients.
You mentioned about dose dense with nab-paclitaxel. What do we know about whether or not growth factors are needed in that situation?
Well, the only thing I think we know is from Nick Robert's pilot study in U.S. Oncology looking at AC and nab-paclitaxel all given Q2 four cycles, so essentially a change over 9741. And what he showed in that trial was that there was a high degree of need for growth factors based upon toxicity. And indeed, building on that, we have a pilot study of AC followed by nab-paclitaxel dose dense with bevacizumab for HER2-negative high-risk early-stage breast cancer, and we are empirically with that regimen, giving growth factors all the way through.
What about dose-dense therapy with trastuzumab?
Chow Dang on our service has provided, I think, with an important missing piece, which is the combination of dose-dense therapy and trastuzumab. And of course, there were some pre-existing concerns about cardiac toxicity. So what we did in this trial is gave dose-dense AC and dose-dense paclitaxel. We used precisely the monitoring system that had been used in both the NSABP and North Central studies in the randomized trials. And we gave trastuzumab beginning with the first dose of paclitaxel. It's important to highlight a little bit of background here. In 9741, the rate of grade 3 or greater cardiac events was actually numerically lower with Q2 therapy compared to Q3, and that runs counter to most people's assumptions. And given that, then it's sort of interesting that with our Q2 AC, we had statistically fewer dropouts between the AC and paclitaxel than were seen in the national randomized trial. And again, I have to emphasize, we use the same rules for checking ejection fractions and ruling patients out for further therapy. What I can say right now is with 70 patients accrued, we have not crossed any of the thresholds that would have alerted us to the possibility that the rate of heart failure might be greater than with standard therapy. So that's a long-winded way of saying we're gaining confidence that there's no increased risk with Q2. And by the next month or two, the last of our 70 patients will have finished the year of trastuzumab, allowing us to more firmly reach this conclusion.
What about nab-paclitaxel plus trastuzumab?
We've done that actually along with Carbo in a trial that Andy Seidman has been leading at our institution, and I can say that that three-drug combination is certainly highly active, but it's not a comparative trial. There is no reason, I don't believe, to speculate on a differential benefit or risk when nab-paclitaxel is used with trastuzumab compared to any of the many other chemotherapy drugs routinely used.